Hello, everybody. Welcome to Lemons, which is a podcast today instead of a vlog. It's a little bit easier to just concentrate on what I'm saying, not think about my face. So today we're talking all about influences. Really beautiful and exciting part of the process. When I'm working on a book and setting out a vision of what it's going to be, I always pick three other books that are going to influence it. So I really just tried to listen to my gut on what that might be. It's a really helpful thing to do. So for this book, I have three slightly unusual books. So it's a children's novel that I'm writing. So the first book I picked is a children's book. It's called The Unforgotten Coat by Frank Cottrell Boyce. Fantastic book if you haven't read it. I'm going to read some little extracts of these in a minute, but for now I'll just tell you what they are. The second book, I hope most people have heard of, who enjoy reading and writing, is The Summer Book by Tove Jansson. Wow, what a novel that is. That's an adult novel. And the third book is a book of poems by the poet Mary Oliver. So when I've got like my three that my gut said, oh yeah, this is the vision that I'm trying to get, it kind of makes like a little cocktail of like not just a visual feeling, but yeah, also an emotional feeling of what it is that I would like. Once I've done that, I try to think about what it is exactly in those books that I'm looking at. So for this one, I've written down that I'm interested in the pacey, voicey, honesty and humour of Frank Cottrell Boyce in The Unforgotten Coat, and the idiosyncrasy and intoxicating wildness of Tove Jansson in The Summer Book, and the tender otherness and transformative passion of Mary Oliver, A Whole New Way of Seeing. I picked these things for this specific novel, but I also have authors who influence me in pretty much everything I do. It's like a constant background influence, so they're kind of there all the time. So for me, that's David Almond, What a Sublime Writer. Blown away when I first read Skellig. Just so excited about writing from that. Same with Sarah Crossan, and particularly her verse novels. Or Eva Ibbotson and all her gorgeous and really funny, quirky observations and characters. I love how all three writers are so distinctive and just follow their own very beautiful, amazing style with so much gorgeous imagery going on. Okay, so they're there all the time. I've got these three that I want for this book. Would you like to hear three little extracts to get an idea? Possibly you would. I'll keep them short for rights reasons. That's probably a good thing. So let's start with The Unforgotten Coat. I'll read you the back. My brother believes he's being chased by a demon that makes things vanish. Carnegie medalist Frank Cottrell Boyce transports readers from the steppe of Mongolia to the streets of Liverpool in a story that is compelling, miraculous, and laugh out loud funny. Also addresses quite a few themes I'm addressing in my novel, so it's very pertinent. Here's a bit of pacey, voicey, honesty and humour from the beginning. I hadn't seen this photograph since the day it was taken until now. Even so, I can tell you anything you want to know about it. The boy on the left is Shocky. The one on the right is Duncan, who used to come to school with biscuits in his pocket. He's married now, inexplicably. The girl on the left is Mimi Toulon, and the one on the right is me. Gorgeous, bouncy, full of beautiful details, and a very distinctive voice that you want to stick with. Tove Jansson's A Summer Book. Let's read the back of that. Actually, let's not read the back. That's a quote by Esther Freud. Philip Pullman says, Tove Jansson was a genius. This is a marvellous, beautiful, wise novel, which is also very funny. That's true. An elderly artist and her 6-year-old granddaughter while away a summer together on a tiny island in the Gulf of Finland. Gradually, the two learn to adjust to each other's fears, whims and yearnings for independence, and a fierce yet understated love emerges. One that encompasses not only the summer inhabitants, but the island itself, with its mossy rocks, windswept firs and unpredictable sea. Full of brusque humour and wisdom, the summer book is a profoundly life-affirming story. Tove Jansson captured much of her own experience and spirit in the book, which was her favourite of the novels she wrote for adults. I'd love to go to the island. That would be amazing. Okay, here's a little quote from that. Towards the end of the week, Grandmother and Sophia took the dory out for a little row. When they came to the perch shallows, they decided to go on to Squire Skerry to look for seaweed. And once in the lagoon behind Squire Skerry, it was only a score of the paws to Blustergall Rock. There was no dock, only a big bank of gravel. In the middle of the gravel was a large sign with black letters that said, "Private property, no trespassing." "We'll go ashore," Grandmother said. She was very angry. Sophia looked frightened. "There's a big difference," her grandmother explained. "No well-bred person goes ashore on someone else's island when there's no one home. But if they put up a sign, then you do it anyway, because it's a slap in the face." Love this book. I think forever. All right, and so Tender Underness and Transformative Passion of Mary Oliver. And I have the back of this book to read to you. It's like a selected poems of her whole lifetime. And anyone who knows Mary Oliver will know the gorgeous wildness that inhabits all of her work. It's so transporting. Instead of explaining, let's just show it by reading some. So this one is called Lingering in Happiness. After rain, after many days without rain, it stays cool, private and cleansed under the trees. And the dampness there, married now to gravity, falls branch to branch, leaf to leaf, down to the ground, where it will disappear, but not, of course, vanish, except to our eyes. The roots of the oaks will have their share, and the white threads of the grasses, and the cushion of moss. A few drops, round as pearls, will enter the mole's tunnel, and soon so many small stones, buried for 1,000 years, will feel themselves being touched. Beautiful. Okay, so yeah, pick three people that might be something you want to do for your book. And it helps writing it, but it helps once you've written it. So when you're describing it or you're selling it to people, it's a handy part of your pitch. And it's really fun when it's out there in the world, like for reviewers to see and feel the influences. That's exciting. It's kind of like a little game, kind of like see what people spot. So don't feel that your choices have to be safe choices. Be as free and outlandish, I think, as you like. And also try to think about how it's going to work for your audience. You've got to keep your reader in mind. So that's only for me thinking about my readers being children. And it doesn't mean that I can't push those boundaries and play and experiment, but it does mean that I need to think about them. And also, my writing's usually first person, so I need to think about how somebody age 14 is going to interpret Mary Oliver's poetry. So yeah, today that was about influences. Hope that's helpful, and yeah, see you for the next one. Thanks.